We've had other examples where in Northern Ireland, as a result of taking a workshop that you led, healthcare facilities in the north of the island have identified all of the products they use in the healthcare system and have begun to order products that do not contain sensitizing agents or cancer-causing ingredients wherever those are available. And that's really exciting when people go that next step and they actually start doing the substitution. We've been to places like Kitimat and Nelson. I could give all sorts of examples where people have identified things that they were working with that they discovered as part of the course contained cancer-causing ingredients, and they were concerned about that. They take that information back to their workplace and and they take it up with the employer and see if they can do something to either get rid of that product, or if they can't do that, to ensure that people are adequately protected if they're working with it.
Yeah, we've seen some wonderful, wonderful follow-up, and both the BC Federation of Labor and the Labor Environmental Alliance really are there to follow up with the participants in the course. And the story that you're telling about North Island, the North Island Health District, was a story of a union health and safety activist from the Hospital Employees Union who took our material and did exactly what you said. And we've seen that with QP members and with CAW members and with United Food and Commercial members and all kinds of different members going back to their jobs, which oftentimes are actually places in the community. I mean, a hospital is where somebody works, but it's very much the center of a community. And so what happens with a lot of these courses is that we end up having a chance to work with them a little bit more in detail with the Labor Environmental Alliance. And Sean has done a lot of that work where we have gone into school districts or gone into hospitals or gone into major hotels or office buildings and worked with the Union Health and Safety Committee and management to try to identify toxins and to try to eliminate them. And maybe you could describe some of that work that we've done.
That's been one of the most interesting parts of this project, because it enables us to talk to workers directly in their own setting and to help them to deal with some of the toxins that they normally would encounter in the workplace. We started out doing this working with cleaning products because it was a real connection for workers between what affected them from day to day in their own health and what also potentially affected the environment. And one of the things that we've produced is this little booklet called Cleaners and Toxins, which looks at a number of different cleaning products and their ingredients that they would encounter in the workplace and some of the things that you can do about getting rid of them and reducing your own exposure to them. I've worked with a number of different workers groups, but two that really stand out are one particular school board where we worked with a number of custodians, and also in a hotel where we worked with the housekeeping and the laundry and the food staff to look at some of the products that they were using. And we also worked in an office complex which had a number of surprisingly toxic ingredients that they were using in the cleaning products. For example, they had one particular product that they used as a furniture spray that would have an ozone-depleting substance, which normally would be banned, but it was continuing to be used under an exemption. It also contained two leading carcinogens and another ingredient that was a reproductive toxicant that could potentially affect developing fetuses or could also affect people about to have a child. And we looked at the various ingredients that they were using, the various products that they were using, and said, okay, what can we do about these? Can we make changes? Can we use different products? And then the committee would sit down and we would look at all of the material safety data sheets for each of these products, go through them. When we'd work with the committee in going through all of these ingredients on the scorecard, looking at the various things that were in them, and then we'd arrive at a list of things that we wanted to substitute. And once we'd got that list, then we could start getting rid of those products and substituting with them alternative products that we could find in the supply sector. And it was a really useful way of doing things because it engaged all of the people on the workplace committees in what they were doing. It gave them a new sense of knowledge and research because they were able to find out for themselves what was in these ingredients and what was in these cleaning products they were using. And it was a real education for them into seeing what the impact might be of these cleaning products on their health and on the environment. And a lot of those people went away from those committee meetings saying, you've empowered us as a health and safety committee. You've given us a sense of what it is to really bring about some change that's positive for ourselves and for our workplace and, for that matter, for the community. And in one particular hotel where we've worked, the committee keeps getting new products that the employer brings back into the hotel because they're changing cleaning products all the time. And they'll look at various different things that they could use. And the committee keeps coming back to us and saying, okay, can we review these? Can you give us a hand to look at what is in these particular products? And I will keep encouraging them to learn to do it themselves, to go and, as a committee, look at the various research methods that they can. And slowly but surely, that process is taking place until this committee is not just a health and safety committee anymore. It's now become its own sort of research base, and they're really starting to involve not only the members of the committee, but other workers in the setting as well. And so their knowledge and their understanding of what it is they're using has really become that much higher. And it's a very positive process that they've taken part in.
And part of what that's all about is that there's been several school districts that we've worked in, really large school districts, Burnaby being the Gophers district, and they did a wonderful job of it. And my son goes to that school, and so whatever it is that the Union Health and Safety people are doing in their Joint Health and Safety Committee with the trustees and with management in Burnaby makes a much, much healthier environment for my boy to go to school in. Prior to that, he was being exposed to a known human carcinogen in a rug cleaner, and he was at that, you know, he was in that district when he was young, and they were sitting on the floor and reading stories and the carpet and so on, and he was being exposed to an endocrine disrupting chemical and a reproductive toxin, and there were neurotoxins in those cleaning products that he was also being exposed to, and it's because of the Union Health and Safety Committees that those are now out of the school, and I feel much, much, much better about my boy's chance to grow up to be much healthier because the union activists have taken that on. And kudos to the districts as well. The Burnaby School District was very good in it. The Langley School District has done this. There were people that took our course in the Nelson School District, and you know, at their Joint Health and Safety Committee level, they've done it. We're working with the Victoria School District now, and the Vancouver School District has just adopted this program. So we have some goals here to try to make it so that we go through basically all of the school districts in British Columbia, and they start by looking at the Cleaners and Toxins Project because it is so practical. Like, you can, in a very, very practical way, learn about the chemicals that you're being exposed to and find substitutes, because there are substitutes. They're cost-effective, they're cost-comparative, they're efficient, and it just proves, you know, that the market will produce material and products that are perfectly, you know, that are safe if we ask them to. So it's a very small and practical thing what we can do, but it opens the window to all kinds of other much bigger issues, like right to know, and then also issues around, you know, how deep it is, our exposure, our chemical trespass exposure, and how deeply we are exposed to carcinogens in this society. Maybe you could talk a little bit about the office building, because people are in office buildings mm-hmm. all the time, and sometimes there's chemicals lurking in private places that you think might be quite benign, and it turns out they're not.
No, that's true. In many cases, the products that people are using can have carcinogens in them. They can have reproductive toxicants, and can be quite toxic in a number of other ways. And I think the important thing to emphasize here is that most people aren't aware of what's in the products they're using. It's not as if anyone is trying to foist toxic products on them. They are simply unaware of what's in them, and this process helps them to learn what is in them and to begin to take some steps to change them. And I mentioned before the furniture polish that contained a whole host of toxic ingredients. That was actually being regularly used in an office environment. It was being sprayed on all of the hard surfaces, mm-hmm. and it would leave a residue, and people would come back the next day and wipe their hands in that and so on, mm-hmm. and it was potentially exposing not only the workers that were using this product, but any of the people who were working in the building as well. And now they were unaware of that. They had no idea what this product was, what they were using. And as soon as they became aware of it, they all universally decided they had to change. And I think that's the other important point to make, is that this has been, by and large, a collaborative process by the committees, the employers, the workers on the committee, the union, and Lee's working with them. And even though the right is there under the Workers' Compensation Board regulations to compel the employer to make a change in some cases, we've never actually had to resort to that. It's always been a very collaborative process, and it's good to know that regulation is there and that workers can use it, but it's also good to know that we've been able to make this change by and large, because people are becoming knowledgeable and learning what it is they have to do.
The other thing that happens with a lot of these projects is that the whole institution takes kind of an analysis and starts going, oh my goodness, you know, how did I manage to get, you know, 42 different kinds of cleaning products in the cupboard when I only really actually need two or three. Mm-hmm. And so they're very systematic in terms of cutting them down and maybe getting rid of some products that don't have a real function. And the story that I also like to tell about this is that we need to kind of give our head a shake about some of the things that we consume. And one of the things that you'll frequently see in men's urinals, apparently, I hear this from people, is these little urinal pucks. Mm-hmm. And maybe you could talk about what's in some of those little urinal pucks. You have to go product by product and make sure you know what's in it. But do we need those urinal pucks, and what's in them?
Well, typically what you'll find in the urinal puck is a product called perodichlorobenzene, which is, again, a carcinogen listed by the International Agency for Research on Cancer. And it's used all over the place. They'll actually put them in the urinal, or sometimes they'll put them up in a little thing in the wall. And it's something that is really, for most uses, unnecessary and can be easily substituted by various other products, odor counteractants and that kind of thing. But it's surprising that a lot of people simply use them because they've been used for years, mm-hmm. and didn't know what was mm-hmm. in them. And once they learned, they made the change.
And I think what's really important is that people have to get it in their minds that they can absorb things by smelling, by breathing, by their skin. Larry, what can people do if they want to find out about more about their rights in terms of health and safety, and if they'd like to take this Toxins in the Workplace course from the BC Federation of Labor or some of the other courses?
If workers want to take this course, they should phone the BC Federation of Labor and ask to speak to somebody from the Occupational Health and Safety Project. They should know that they have a right to this ed leave, but not unless they request it. And they should also know that this course, as well as others that are offered through the BC Federation of Labor, are certified through the Workers' Compensation mm-hmm. Board, and under our legislation, the employer has to give you leave to take such a certified course.
Great, and they're great courses. People come out of them really energized and, you know, with lots and lots of good tools. And if somebody wanted to do a workplace, Toxins in the Workplace project, what would they do, Sean?
Well, they can phone Lise. The number is 604-669-1921, and they can ask that they would like someone to come and work with them on their work site and their health and safety committee on a workplace intervention to look at their cleaning products or other toxins that they might have.
We do have a right to know what toxins are in our workplace and a right to say no to carcinogens and reproductive toxins. We shouldn't have to be dying to go to work.
The Labor Environmental Alliance Society is starting a comprehensive toxins audit program in BC schools. Using tools like the Lease Cleaners and Toxins and Cancer Smart Consumer Guides, you can make healthy choices for your community. For more information about any of the Lease programs and resources, the website is www.lease.ca or phone 604-669-1921. You can make a difference and improve the health of your family and the environment. TV.